Live. We've got a big game coming on Sunday. Some call it the Hot Seat Bowl. We're going to talk about it. What is up, Dolphin fans? Another Friday, another preview live stream. We're getting ready for this Cleveland Browns game. It's apparently going to be a very sloppy one, but before we jump into that, we do have to shout out the sponsors of the channel. First being SeatGeek. If you are going to head to Cleveland and sit in that weather, because again, we'll talk about it, it's not going to be great, use SeatGeek. Use the promo code FINS, you get $20 off your first order. Millions of downloads. They don't just have football games, they have festivals, concerts. Go check them out, and again, use that promo code. Then we got Brunt, a hard-working men's gear, women's gear. Hey, get it. If it fits you, wear it. It's hard, durable, great stuff. Use the promo code HMA. You get $10 off. And then finally,
I believe my shipment has arrived and I probably will need it for Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
Good timing.
Well, like I said, we'll get to that. But let's talk about Sleeper real quick. Use the promo code HMA. You get 100% off, up to $100. Now, more or less, they got the quarterbacks at Tua at 190 and Dylan Gabriel at 175.
Do they 175. I'm definitely taking an under on that.
Wow, under on 175.
I'm taking under on both of them, to be honest with you.
Dylan's bad.
Because we'll get into the weather, but a lot of it is just touchdowns. I'm not seeing a lot of yards. So, like, Devon Achane, touchdown. Quinshon Judkins touchdown. Obviously, we expect both of those guys to at least get a touchdown. Not, and again, we'll talk more about this.
What about Darren Waller's touchdown?
Here's a good one. Ollie Gordon, right? Bad weather, 14 and a half rushing yards. More or less?
Over. I'm going over.
Interesting. Let's see. Westbrook Akine, 10 and a half receiving yards.
That's like one catch, but
I'm going under. No, actually, you know what? He's probably gone to Tua and said, Tua, man, I've been out here for two games.
Hey, man.
And it would be nice if I actually, I know my last pass of the game was intercepted. I know the last pass of the game was intercepted. My bad, dog.
That was his only target of the game, by the way.
Yeah, I know. He's.
Let's throw some defense. Oh,
that was his fault now. Okay.
I didn't say that.
It was. He wasn't ready. He wasn't used to it. Bradley Chubb, 2.5 tackles, more or less.
I'm taking that.
Yeah, everybody going to have 10 tackles.
Hopefully. Denzel Ward, 3.5 tackles.
Do they really do tackles? Wow.
And then this one's interesting. Terrell Dotson, 3.5 assisted tackles.
Assisted tackles?
Nothing.
Yeah. I think he could jump on a pile for 3.5
assisted tackles. Again, most of it's touchdowns. Like, you got anytime touchdowns for Jalen Waddle, Jerry Jeudy, Harold Fannin, Darren Waller, receptions, Isaiah Bond, 2.5 receptions. Go check it out though. It's a great fantasy app. I love using it. Like I said, I got a pick'em league in there. I did horrible last week in my pick'em league. I think I went 9, and I'll tell you right now, 9-6. Because I took the Eagles, I took the Cowboys, I took the Bills. And look what happened yesterday. Bengals beat the Steelers. So
anything can happen on any given game.
You guys shocked that that happened? That Joe, how long, Omar? You know this. I advocated for him as a backup quarterback for the Dolphins. The dude can be serviceable.
He would have started. That's the problem.
Say what?
He would have started for us. So that's the problem. They would have never did that.
Don't start. Don't start, TD.
It's too early, TD. Too early.
Just dialogue. Topics. Man, Flacco. Hey, all right. Go ahead.
So yeah, this game. It's going to be a messy one. From our understanding. 50 to 60 mile an hour wind gusts. Now that's wind gusts, but still, it's ridiculous. The National Weather Service says that this is certainly a system worth keeping an eye on as strong storms may materialize. The current forecast, and this was yesterday at 9 a.m., I think it changed a little bit, 94% chance of rain, 36 mile an hour wind gusts, 65 degrees. Now, for me, a Northeasterner, 65 degrees is nothing. I'll go out in shorts and a t-shirt in 65.
It's fabulous.
Exactly. But for Miami people, that's cold.
I think 50 is our line when we're officially cold. However, I will say this, and I remember because I walked to the game Cleveland last year, and it was raining.
Yeah.
And that was a slick, wet field. Mm-hmm. Curious what Devon Achane did in that game last year. But yeah, if a slick, wet field, and Jalen Waddle said, yeah, I remember the field being slick. Like, that's the only thing he really remembers about that last game. But it'll be interesting to see how things play out based on the weather. I would love to see a certain quarterback silence the critics who say he can't throw a wet ball or throw in the cold.
Dylan Gabriel? Really?
10 attempts, 25 yards in Cleveland last year for Devon Achane.
10 attempts, 25 yards. Ooh, that's not good.
Man, don't tell me we're losing to the Browns, too.
Yeah. Speaking of, here's your injury report. The only one out is Elijah Campbell. Questionable is Terrell Dotson and Storm Duck. But Terrell Dotson has been a full participant for three straight days, so you know I expect him to play. Your only out for the Cleveland Browns is David Njoku, which kind of bodes well for Miami because we can't cover a tight end if our life depended on it. Jack Conklin did not practice for 2 days and then was limited on Friday. So, but honestly, does it matter? The Chargers didn't have either of their tackles, and we still couldn't do anything. So, looking at this game, again, at this point, you know, is it a must win? Really? It's a must win for Mike McDaniel to keep his job. I'll start with TD on this one. What's your thoughts on this game? What can the Dolphins win it?
We could win any game in the NFL on any given Sunday. But I never thought I would see a day where I felt like there is not a game on the schedule that I feel like is a guaranteed win. Like, I never thought we'd get to this point. I could always find four or five, maybe even being a homer, six or seven games. Oh, yeah, we got that. We got not a game on our schedule. Can I feel that way anymore?
You're officially the team that gets circled.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, man. And that's exactly what happened. Exactly. Like, they're looking at us that way. Oh, we finally can get another win. I believe we can get this one. So my breakdown in this game, honestly, Doug, with the weather, I'm concerned for the simple fact their defense is good. Our offense isn't going to be as impacted, I don't think, because wind gusts and all that ain't going to matter. We throw the ball 10 yards anyway. You know, whether it's outside or a quick seven-yarder, it's really about the playmakers getting their grip and running the ball up the field. So our game won't be affected at all. We don't take deep shots where the wind really is going to impact it. And if anything, if we do take a deep shot, maybe it'll be in stride this time because the wind will carry it. But that's neither here nor there. Who's
taking your shot?
No, these aren't shots. These are truths. I mean, I know I'm not all bases here. We all watch the same games. But anyway, I'm worried about their defense. I am worried about the pass rush. You know, I really, in a wet, nasty game, man, I just hope that we come out of it without sustaining a lot of injuries because those things happen in games like this. They're going to come punching, man. They're going to come punching. But one thing I'm looking forward to is seeing the Patrick Paul matchup. See how this is kind of like a test day for him Sunday. You know, who are you, Patrick Paul? We've been giving you praise. You haven't really been a liability. Nobody's had nothing negative to say.
Liability? That man been good.
I say he hasn't been a liability.
That's what he just said.
I know, but he has. It's not that he hasn't been a liability.
He's been an asset.
He's been good.
So my whole thing is, let's see, like, when mano-a-mano, when we need you most and you got a dog out there, can you hold your own? Can you do your job for the day? It ain't got to look perfect, but can you hold your own?
Let me ask you a question, TD. On and I'm excited about that matchup as well. Mm-hmm. I however, don't think it benefits the Browns to put Myles Garrett on Patrick Paul. I would put him on the other side.
Yeah.
But that's a totally different conversation. Put him on the other side, have them double that way, and I could just blitz and do whatever I want to do this way.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's gonna play around wherever he wants to on that defense. True. So Patrick Paul gonna get some work. He gonna test them because he is young. So yeah, I get what you're saying though, the scheme.
Yeah, but I was asking you, would giving up a sack to Myles Garrett, who is arguably the best pass rusher in the game, mm-hmm. would that sour you on what you've seen from Patrick Paul thus far?
No, not at all. But I do look for him to have a game where Patrick Paul didn't give up a sack. Wow, mm-hmm. we got us one. Mm-hmm. No question. You know, or Patrick Paul gave up a sack, but he held his own for the most part. That's a good sign. You know, so I'm not looking. This isn't about – now, I do want to be happy and say, oh, man, we got an all-pro in the future. You know, we got a guy who literally made – one-on-one, however they do it, he took care of him. He took care of Miles today. We got us one. Teron Armstead will be proud. And that'll make us feel good about the future because all of these pieces on the line, we're going to have pieces in the future that we draft while we already got a guy. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised 2 years from now if they don't draft another guard and Jonah's relocated to a backup. You got to evaluate these guys, and knowing that Patrick Paul is not a question is going to be a good sign for the Dolphins moving forward.
Hasn't he shown enough, though, already where, barring a disaster against Myles Garrett on Sunday, where we can all feel very comfortable that the Dolphins have their left tackle for the next, I don't know, 6-7 years? And it's not even about the number of sacks because, as Omar pointed out, if he gets one sack and then Paul neutralizes him the rest of the game, it's not the end of the world. It's got to be.
I don't.
The pressure that you don't want from that spot, and also at the key time, and certainly not, you know, causing a fumble that could be game changing.
I don't particularly think that we've seen enough because we're only 6 games in. Just like we haven't seen enough with Jonah, the opposite way. Yeah. You know, that's why I value key matchups. That's why I value key matchups. It's the same thing I've been preaching about Tua for the last 5 years. When we play a good team, you got an opportunity. Here you go. But we know how that turned out. That's why I value good matchups, because they tell you more than just a regular season bum team game. It tells you so much more.
I'm sure the Pittsburgh Steelers thought Joe Flacco and the Cincinnati Bengals were a bum team.
No, they didn't. Why do you think Mike Tomlin was bitching about the Browns?
I know, but Flacco barely even knows the offense. Come on,
who is also Flacco? A divisional game.
His performance even more impressive. And again, you put a serviceable quarterback on with really really good wide receivers. See what happens, because Flacco with the Browns couldn't do anything because that wide receiver core is booty cheeks. Just for you. And then now for the Dolphins, you mentioned David Njoku, second leading receiver. The leading receiver on that team is the other tight end, the rookie Harold Fannin. So their offense, basically, they throw the tight ends and they run the ball. That's pretty much it. So this is a big advantage of the Dolphins that Njoku's not playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And again, we talk about Myles Garrett, but there's also Collins. There's Wright. They got Grant Delpit. You know, their defense, again, if it comes down to who can run the ball better?
Advantage Browns.
Or who can stop the run better?
One of them ranked, I think, third in the NFL in run defense. The other is 32nd in run defense. So it's not going to bode well. But again, looking at this game, can the Dolphins – is this the game where finally – right, and we'll get to our record prediction. Is this the game where finally, if they lose, something happens?
No.
I think if they embarrass themselves, something happens. But otherwise, no.
So, Alan, at what point do you think something happens?
Like Omar just said, God, I hate agreeing with him all the time like this. God, I hate it. Hate it. No, it would have to be something really, really embarrassing. I think
Ross, yeah.
Ross really likes Daniel. He gave him a contract extension with 2 years left, which is highly unusual as a sign of how much he likes him. And You can do this all you want. The facts are fact. He's going to eat that.
He's going to eat it.
It's a bad look, and it's also the pride is hurt a little bit, and also it tells you when he gave him the contract extension that I really, really like Mike, and I really, really believe in Mike. So
let me say something about that. One, Doug, what does it benefit you to get a firing now as opposed to January? How? What, you just need that sacrifice?
It pleases Doug. That's what it accomplishes.
Yeah, you're dead inside, and that's going to wake you up. And that's my thought to that. And I'm not saying that nobody should be fired, but here's my thought process on Cincinnati. If they on Cleveland, if they embarrass themselves and it's clear that the team quit, then Steve Ross's hand is going to be forced. But if they play another game and lose another fourth quarter game and have to come back and speak and say, oh, we got to learn how to finish, or we got to learn how to play complimentary football, status quo. I think it's sending a good message to your future employees that you don't pull the plug quickly like Tennessee did or act like Cleveland did. Like, the one thing that Steve Ross's reputation is that he's patient. Now, look at Doug, just rolling your eye. Fans don't like it, but
it never
future
works.
Employers like it. Future employees like it.
2015 was impatient then. He had been impatient the year before, Joe Philbin.
You talking about Tony Sperano?
No, Joe Philbin after four games.
Oh, he fired Tony Sperano. And remember,
correct.
He needed that Eagles loss because the team was getting hot. And he was just like, yeah, fire him now. Like, you know, right, because they knew that team was going to rally. That's what I loved about that team. That team loved Tony Sperano, and they would have fought for Tony Sperano. I don't sense that same kind of love and appeal and fight for this coach, but then this coach wasn't a motivator like Tony Sperano was.
Good point. I don't know. I'm just the pulse of the fan base, and it gets to the point where it's like, you know, you're already starting to see. I did a show with Dolphins Talk, and they had the fan event last weekend, and he said it. You know, it starts at like 2:00. I think he said it's like 2 to 6 or 1 to 6, and he was like, if you don't get there last year by like 12:30, you're not getting a table. He said they got there at like 1:30. There was no one there, The fans are done, and they want something, and.
But a change now doesn't fix anything, and a change now isn't going to. A change now. I need to know when season ticket renewal date is, because
they're not getting. I already have people selling their tickets to the opponents. I've heard it's. Yeah.
There's a date coming up in October or November that you have to renew your season tickets, and to me, that's the only date that really matters around here. Because literally, I mean, who is going to renew?
It also shows as an owner you care, you know. Like, again, he could throw money around. He has his, you know, his racetrack. He's got the tennis courts. He's got all this stuff. But at the end of the day, your football team is not good. It hasn't been good since 2023. It took a big step back in 2022. You told us status quo isn't good enough, and yet here's status quo, but you're not making a move. So that's where
it's not finished. It's not finished.
What's not finished?
It's not finished.
What you're talking about?
The season is not finished.
It's finished.
The season is not finished. They could.
2021,
1-7. Man, stop.
What happened if Ollie Gordon get out there? And all of a sudden,
It would be fantastic, but that means that Mike McDaniel would actually put him out there. So,
exactly. He's got one of the best weapons in the NFL, and you want him to replace him with a rookie that barely knows his play calls.
How about not overuse Devon Achane? How about, you know, our left guard is struggling because he predominantly played at right guard. Let's see what happens if we put him back. McDaniel does not own up to this isn't working. And it seems like Anthony Weaver is also in that.
To address what you just said, let me share something that Brent Butch Barry said. That was basically the explanation for why you're not getting this move back to left guard. They want to see tangible growth. If he plays 30 good snaps today, next week, will he play 35? If he plays 35 good snaps to next week, will he get to 38? And they want to see tangible growth, and they are seeing tangible growth. They said if it would address if what the issues that he's struggling with would be solved by moving him to the right side, they would have done that. They said the same issues would be there.
So he's just a project.
What he said.
But yeah, he's been a project.
No. See, this is the problem.
No.
This is where Chris Greer has to take accountability. I know that Jonah is a project, okay? Just like Kenneth Grant at this point. But what did Greer promise us? When we go in the draft, we are making sure that we get players that are not here to develop right away. We need people who impact the game right away this year.
Yeah, they impact the game in a negative way. All of them. They impact the game in a negative way.
Oh, my
God. Got fired.
That's all Greer.
That kind of goes into another one of our topics is the rookie. Are the rookies turning the corner? And I will give Jonah, and don't get me wrong, I love Jonah. I wanted to trade up for Jonah. I still think Jonah could be something really good for the Dolphins, given time, given, the ability to work through it. He had a good game against the Chargers. He didn't have that bad of a game that he normally does, like the Panthers game where Brown was taking his lunch money all flipping day.
He had a whiff.
Yeah, but it was... like you guys are saying, there was some type of growth there compared to at the beginning of the season where he was just a revolving door. Do you guys see? And even Kenneth Grant, he got a sack, man. He was
Kenneth Grant, that was the best game that Kenneth Grant has ever played in Miami Dolphins uniform.
And he's the only person on the team that got a sack.
And against the first O-line, he's played. So
actually, the interior of that offensive line is good. It was the tackles that were bad. And that
I thought they were missing like three or four guys. Yeah, that's like one of the worst.
The interior or the exterior is what I'm saying.
Right now, the exterior.
So, are the rookies turning the corner?
No, but the corner doesn't arrive until game 9.
They spin in the block, though.
Yeah, they spin the block.
They showing up.
Yeah. I mean, Dante Trader just whiffed on a tackle that cost him a game. Had sleepless nights, these things are going to motivate and drive these young players. Here's the thing about benching young players. Do you remember Noah Igbinoghene and his game against Russell Wilson where he cost the team the win?
Against Stephon Diggs, too. Stephon Diggs turned him around every which way but
the No, that was Kader Kohu.
No, it was Noah Igbinoghene in 2020.
What year was that?
But you're right. Also, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, it was Russell Wilson. I remember because I wrote a column about it, and he was out there playing because something happened to Byron Jones, and it was like his second game of the season. And did Russell Wilson pick on him? And from that point, he went into mental funk that he never got out of. 4 years later, never got out of it. And look at Cam Smith. Not to say that this is a great example because clearly something is wrong there. Mm-hmm. But Cam had a good camp. Poupard will testify this. Cam had a good camp. Went out to the Jacksonville game, wasn't disciplined, didn't play his assignment, got beat for a touchdown on a double move. You never saw him again. And obviously, professionalism played into it, and knowing he wasn't going to play, he stopped really working as hard as he could and stopped really studying and preparing for the games. Then he fell in the coach's doghouse. You got to baby the rookies. That's why for 3 years, Mike barely ever played rookies because they needed – they had to have a pacifier.
Interesting. He's absolutely right. What happened with Noah is Byron Jones like pulled a hammy or had a groin issue early in the Buffalo game, and Brian Flores, who I've spoken highly of in terms of X and O's, decided I'm going to stick him on Stephon Diggs and I'm going to have X cover John Brown with the long.
Yes.
Stephon Diggs turned Noah every way but loose. And then the final, he started again, and then Russell Wilson took his turn at him.
Yeah, Russell Wilson, and then it was like, it was over. Lights out.
Because I remember that everyone was like, why wasn't X on Stephon Diggs? And then a lot of people were like, would it have mattered?
X was like, why wasn't I on Stephon Diggs?
But then if he went on Diggs, they would have just targeted the other receiver over Nova's cover. It was just, it was a lose-lose, to be honest, in that situation. Before we get to the donations, just real quick, because again, we're going to go into more details. We have two more games before the trade deadline. We have the Falcons game and the Ravens game, and then we have the trade deadline. So probably that Friday, the 31st, Halloween, we will do a whole trade deadline video. But, you know, who should be on the trade block is the question. Now, obviously, Chubb, Phillips, and to me, Jalen Wright, you know, if you're not going to use them and you're going to healthy scratch them, you might as well trade them. That's who should be on the trade block. But is there anyone outside of the obvious that you guys think should be on the trade block?
I don't think there's anybody who shouldn't be on the trade block with the exception of Patrick Paul. You want it, you can have it for the right price.
Yes.
I agree. Everybody. I agree.
Can't give up on Chop that early.
On who?
I can't. But everybody with the caveat that everybody is available at the right price. I don't think I'd give
did
up.
Did you on say Chop. You can't give up on Chop? I need yes, to make yeah.
correct on Chop.
Okay.
So a first round pick for Chop. You like, no, we're not giving up on it.
I said that the right price.
Oh, for the right price. Everyone hold is
on. Available. Top 50 pick for Chop. You go say no.
As Ted DiBiase has said, everyone.
He's not going to be a scheme fit for everybody. Keep that in mind.
No, correct. But mid second round pick? No, I don't think I. Again, if you use him the right way. First of all, here's one thing I'm going to point out. Why is he not getting more playing time? Because he's not getting good against the run. Could it really be worse? Get his ass in there.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, it could be worse. I was just going to say, maybe it could be
worse. Could it be worse than 30 seconds?
Yes, it could be worse.
Maybe
they could be giving up.
Oh, we 33rd. Like what?
They said like 5.8 yards per carry. They could be giving up 6.3. Like. It can get worse.
He's consistently been getting since week three, 30% of the snaps.
Yeah, he's in the 20s every game.
Put him out there. What does it hurt? You know, and especially if you're going to trade Bradley Chubb, what is it going to hurt, man? Put him out there. Have the speed out there with him and Phillips.
Just a perfect example of the rookies. Remember, Chop Robinson didn't come alive until the second half of the season. Yep. And that was after a ton of mentoring from everybody, from Calais and from Teron. Okay, the rookies are getting the same thing. Let's just hope that in the second half, the light bulb will come on and they'll give you what you say. No.
No, I'm just curious as to what that has to do with what we're talking about with Chop.
Chop. Okay, but here's the problem with Chop. And remember when they were talking about, oh, he could set the edge and he could play. Yeah. Show it to me.
Yeah, I remember. He did one game. I remember he did a good, decent job, and everybody was like, "See, yeah, I told you I can set the edge." That's what everybody's demeanor was. And I'm going to be honest, second round pick, yeah, he got to go. Everybody got to go except Patrick Paul and Tua Tagovailoa. Everybody else got to go.
Hold on. Devon Achane too?
I'm over it. I'm over it. 3 years from now, I'm not going to bet on him being the same Devon Achane as dynamic passing and catching in the league.
So you're flushing the next two seasons, basically? You're saying?
I mean, Alan, no matter what we do, we may not realize it up front, but we're doing that anyway. We are doing that anyway. We may not realize it at the moment. Next year, we're going to be like, man, I thought we'd be better than this. And the year after, same thing. Dude, then, hopefully, we'll be competing.
Last I checked, New England was, what, 4-13 last year? And this year, they might win the AFC East.
Washington.
They were 4-13. What were they the year before that?
Not good either.
In the year before that, they had their period too.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. You got to see where they are.
What changed from last year to this year?
A head coach and a competent quarterback mentality.
Oh. Yes, right. You ain't lying.
But how long is that going to take for us?
Washington. What happened with Washington? Head coach.
They're right back to where they were. Don't start bragging about them.
They're better than than where they should be 2 years into a rebuild.
What are they, 4-2?
They went to the playoffs.
3-3? They went to the playoffs last year.
Yeah, and that was the first
year. Championship game last year.
I just don't understand why people think it's a guarantee that, say, we tear it down, that we're going to be bad next year. I'm not saying it's a guarantee we're going to be good. But
yeah, it's not that we're going to be bad, but again, the ultimate goal is to compete in the playoffs. You cannot count on the Dolphins next year. Obviously, it's early, but you can't count on the Dolphins to just snap our fingers and turn it around. Now, it's possible, but the probability of that with the state of all these contracts and stuff, no, it's going to get worse before it get better, if you ask me.
State of how many contracts other than the quarterback that has a bad contract? Who else has a bad contract? The
quarterback, Chubbs.
Jalen Waddle.
Waddle's cap number next year is 11.7, which is
okay. And he's a $19.2 million receiver. Does he look? He actually has looked like a $19.2 million receiver.
The cap number next year is 11.7. That's
nothing. Okay, and it's a final year of his guaranteed money.
Correct. Which is why you don't trade him, because then if you don't want to stay with him in 2027,
everybody,
you can cut him very, very painlessly, or you restructure.
Again, I'm just looking at the pattern in the NFL. Where the Dolphins, the state that they're in right now, it's gonna get worse before it get better. These guys, they're gonna have a purge next year. Then your young guys aren't showing promise to feel like you're gonna pick up where you left off. All of that stuff matters. If Jonah and Kenneth were just absolutely balling out right now, then I could see, you know, an attempt to say, hey, let's keep shifting this, let's keep building on this. But they're gonna keep on purging players. Chubb gone, Tyreek obviously getting cut off of the roster, and then they got a decision to make with Tua and the coach. It's just too much to do.
We'll see. That's a whole different discussion for.
I'm not for dumping players who could help you in 2026 for the sake of doing it.
Help you do what?
Wait. Help you compete and help you.
This is all I'm saying. As long as we stay in the only focus on next year instead of having a 2-3 year plan, we're going to stay in this boat. It's always competing for the next year.
It's a combination of both. What you want to do is completely flush 2026 and let me focus on 2028.
Only reason, Alan, is because we have too many cancers in the building right now as far as overall team build. It's too many issues, in my opinion, from the front office, certain players still obviously showing up to meetings late, whatever it may be, whatever discourse we have, film study, whatever you want to call it, because somebody obviously thought that everybody should be there, but they weren't. So everybody's not bought in. They got people that don't respect leadership. We got problems through and through, and I don't feel like it's going to get better. Now there's going to be secret resentment, secret gossip. All that stuff is happening in that locker room at this point. It has to be.
Sure, blame Tua for everything, TD.
Well, I didn't put that on Tua. I'm just saying it's a lot of problems in the organization. This got to get flushed out.
That was for Omar, by the way.
5 degrees of separation. So 5 degrees of Tua.
Yep.
I say, you notice I said we can keep Tua.
You're going to be serious.
2026. One more year. I'm
someone's all here for it. Gee, someone offers Miami Dolphins a seventh for Tua. Are you doing it?
No, that's disrespectful. Now, if we swap in sevens. No, <I'm> just
that's a horse of a different color now.
No, I'm
you ain't right.
No, listen. If I'm not getting better than a second round pick for Tua, then why am
I? Second, you're not getting.
You're not getting a second.
You know what?
Get out of here with all that.
He may not. He may not. But if I'm not getting that, then I don't need to do it. I'll
spit out one more year. You get out of here with all that.
Second, yeah. Well, we on the hook.
Even though Josh Rosen was traded for a second, let's be real.
Well, that's what I've been telling people. If Josh Rosen worth the second, you can't tell me a team might not say, "Hey, I'll give you a late first."
In what universe? In what
fantasy? I mean, Alan, it's hard to find quarterbacks in Tua. He's, according to Omar on radio shows, you know, if he got the right structure around him, he's good enough. Yeah, I've been hearing you right here.
According to me. Good enough to what, according to me?
Good enough to win it all. You say he can be MVP in the league with a Super Bowl?
If Matt Ryan took you to a Super Bowl, I see no reason
why. And that's the example you use. He's like a Matt Ryan to me.
He is.
I'm like, Omar out here spreading this mess, man.
Tua has value to NFL teams.
But he does.
You don't think New Orleans could use Tua right now?
I think you made a good point when you said in a dome. Mm-hmm. And Doug mentioned that last week. He'd be served better in a dome. No weather conditions that'll impact them, and just a new environment. And the way New Orleans played it with Breeze, I don't know if they could bring it back. Not the same staff, but that would work for him. But winning the Super Bowl, I don't know, man.
If they had money, New Orleans is like 14 million over the cap, man.
Always.
They're always 14 million over the cap. They always find who that money.
But the cap's not real. The cap's
not real.
Cap's not real.
That's why New Orleans is proof cap is not real.
It's kind of true because they always do something. They just kick that can.
The cap is real because that's why they suck. That's why they suck.
No,
because
they were doing it. They were doing it when they didn't suck, though. They were.
But that was the early. That was the early stages of it. That's what. That was the credit. That was the big credit card. They used it. They were having success. When it ran out, now they've been paying people guaranteed money, winning three games. Year after year now, they're starting to stack up.
Let's get to these donations. We got 684 in here. Be sure to hit that like button and subscribe. We are less than 700 from 9,000 subscribers. 700 or 70?
70.
Thank you. Dyslexia. Anyway. Let's jump into this. Sarah with the Fiver says, hubby's a Broncos fan. We made a bet. Which team makes the playoffs? If I lose, I wear a shirt that says Elway is better than Marino in season 2026.
Get it printed.
I agree with
Is this bet for this year, Sarah? Yeah. Because if it is, then you're going to have to get that shirt ready because, oh boy.
Sarah, why would you make that bet?
Yeah.
Sarah. You got to be talking about 2026.
Oh, got it. Because Sarah... They started 2-6 last year. What are you thinking?
I mean, that bet in preseason.
Check Parks with the tour says trade Waddle or Achan to the Patriots. Do you see this garbage that Waddle's going to get traded to the Bills?
The Giants, everybody talking about. It's crazy.
The Giants to hold the whole. Oh my! By the way, look at the dudes. See the dude's avatar photo, whatever. It's Patriots. We got a Patriots fan in our midst.
Jake, subscribe, man. We talk about everyone. In the Trenches with the Fiver says, why do I have a feeling that Gabriel gets hurt and Sanders comes in and breaks out on us just like Purdy?
The NFL boy. I ain't gonna lie, I've been thinking about that too.
And that's where I talk about the embarrassment. And can you imagine a game where Gabriel gets hurt, Shador comes in,
and he comes in, right? He takes off running. Here comes Jordan Phillips, and he stiff arms him right to the ground. Yeah.
And remember, Jordan Phillips was the pick that they took instead of taking, or he breaks
his ankles like a little whoop spins around
that
him.
That's so Dolphin. And Shador wins the game, and he's the national talk of the NFL. To Wednesday.
At that point, you got to fire Greer. Like, screw McDaniel. At that point,
Then he come on the podium and say, I wanted to be a Dolphin.
Yeah, exactly. And Shador says after the game, that'll teach the Dolphins not to draft me.
Exactly. Yeah. I tried Colin Greer. He blocked me. That's what you should say. Get him fired. Anyway, Zach, thank you for becoming a member. We greatly appreciate it. JD, great one. Been a member for 5 months. He says, great show, fellas. Over under 5 wins for this team. I'm taking the under.
I'm taking the over.
I think they win 3.
They're not 3 wins.
Did you not watch the last 2 games?
We on pace. In a good pace.
They gave it up.
Oh, man.
I think they beat the Jets and the Saints again. Outside of that, I don't think they won another game.
We're on pace for 2.8 wins right now,
which will get us the first overall pick because I think the Jets are going to win more than 3 games.
Here's what I'll say. If we lose to the Browns, we're only winning 3 games this year.
If we lose to the Browns, I might put us at 2.
Yeah, because after that, I already got on the schedule 3 losses in a row.
Hey, we get that first pick. Which quarterback we taking?
I don't know.
People are yelling at me when I say stuff like that. Well, you got to take the offensive line. I'm like, are we really doing Jake Paul, Matt Ryan all over again, man?
Nah.
Take the quarterback. Ian with the Fiver said, with the rain and wind predicted for Sunday, this is going to be like a 6-3 ugly game. Feel like the Browns running game will have a good day.
Yes.
Like I said, it's about who can stop the run. We know one of them can and one of them can't.
And one of them has been trying to for weeks and has not found a solution yet.
Nope. Man, they better figure it out.
And the Browns' O-line isn't that good either. But again, it's like neither was the Chargers.
They threw the ball 52 times last week and got sacked 6 times. So they really tried to throw it 58 times.
Oh, and then Myles Garrett today was like saying, yeah, I wish they'd run Quentin Junkins a bit more than they did. But
wow.
They
didn't. He said that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Patrick Mullen with the tenor said, number one, the wind at the stadium blows sideline to sideline like Erie factor. Number two, check quarterback rush yards props. Number three, would you take one from the Giants for Waddle? Yes, I would, because I think the Giants are going to be around the 10th pick. And number four, a two for Achane. I would do a one for Waddle. That's where I would move on from Waddle, is for a one. Nothing lower than a one. A two for Achane is interesting. I might
do it. And you're doing that too. But the wind in Cleveland, if I remember it right, it swirls. It's like it comes in and swirls. It's a challenging venue.
So are bubble screens at risk?
Everything's at risk. McDaniel's pride and joy. That's how the Meadowlands used to be, which that's I just gave my age by calling it the Meadowlands.
It is Meadowlands also swirls.
Is this what it feels like to be old?
I wouldn't know, Doug, but thanks for asking.
When did they change to MetLife? Like 2004-ish? Something like that?
I don't keep up with name changes for stadiums.
That name sucks. It's the outline of it.
How many names has Joe Robbie had? Like 8?
Joe Robbie, Shark. What was the Shark?
Land Shark.
Dolphin Stadium.
Pro Player Stadium.
Pro Player, yep.
Dolphin
Stadium. Was that Heisinger?
Yes.
Sun Life Stadium. You said
Sun Life.
By the way, anybody quickly, without thinking about it, can name where they're playing Sunday?
Nope.
I literally looked up the stadium to make my thumbnail for the live stream, and I cannot tell you. Not AT&T.
Nope. Huntington Bank Field.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well done, TD.
Brown heap.
Right there, man.
Right after I said it. Well done.
Steven with a $2. I appreciate you, Steven. We all appreciate you. Ian Fiverr says, firing the coach slash GM doesn't fix anything, but it shows fans that the status quo isn't enough. And Ross cares enough to say, this isn't good enough. I agree.
Yeah.
It doesn't, in all honesty, unless they fire the GM and bring in a GM that is the future, which they're not going to do.
Come on, guys.
It doesn't do anything.
Well, Omar, Doug said it earlier. It's a fan thing, because you know how we keep hearing you be patient, right?
Fans don't know how to be patient. If he could sacrifice a body, if he could, to satisfy the fans, who do you think it would be? And clearly, he can't. So stop asking for it.
He's gonna. When's the next home game? Thursday night against the Ravens.
Yep.
It's gonna be an empty stadium.
Like,
man, if Flores needs a speedy trial, man.
Those sideline seats. That's the one thing that kind of pissed me off, was they showed the Chargers game and that 1972 section empty. Thousands of dollars to get those seats, and you don't let the diehard fans sit there. Kind of messed up.
They didn't pay for it.
They want that. That's what they care about, man.
Nah, you greased the right usher. I used to be an usher. You greased me right.
You give me that?
All it takes is a handshake. Go on right ahead.
I remember that. Steven with the tour says, Omar, question to Tua going to cause team.
Oh, I forgot. I wanted to share a story.
I'm assuming he's saying, question, is Tua going to cause the team?
The Omar question to Tua is going to cause the team to quit. That's what he's saying.
Oh.
Maybe Let me share a story.
Omar, go ahead.
Yeah. Because for those who don't know, I have to leave to go to the UM game. I'm trying to be a fan, enjoy some sporting events that I don't cover. All this talk, you know, all this talk about what's going on in the locker room and what's going on. Everybody, one, Tua misspoke and called players only meeting. He called film study players only meeting, and that's misconstrued. And what people don't realize is nowadays everything is on their iPad, so players don't sit there in the film watching room and watch film together. So Tua is doing that, and they watch practice together and blah 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 blah. Okay, they had just come back from, this happened Thursday, they had just come back from, I believe it was the receivers and Tua meeting. Tua has another meeting with the offensive linemen. This is the receivers and Tua, the weapons and Tua meeting. And a young player comes up to him, and he was like, hey, on, you know, comes up to him, and he's like, hey, on this play, do I do this, 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 this? And Tua was like, no, you do this, 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 this. And then the guy couldn't, I'm not going to name it, because if they use it on Sunday, you know, competitive disadvantage, I'm not going to do that to the team. And Tua was like, listen, let's go out there and walk through it. This is an hour after practice, hour, you know, minutes after meeting room. Like, the way that I've always watched people in the locker room and gauge their leadership is how many people come up to them for guidance and help and work. I remember, you Poupard will remember, the Chad Pennington years and Chad Henne years, where nobody ever went to Chad Henne for anything. They went to Chad Pennington, who was the backup. Because, and I remember Ryan Tannehill. Nobody ever really went to Ryan Tannehill for anything. I mean, and that was the indicator of leadership. Ryan Fitzpatrick, shoot. Everybody went to Ryan Fitzpatrick. There's a presence, there's a leadership. I've always wondered about that with Tua. I've always thought about that. Yes, a lot of the criticism and part of what I was asking, even from the first time we talked, was, what are you going to do? And I think Tua knows that. What are you going to do to ensure that the first game, that this doesn't happen again? And Tua's like, well, I want to see who shows up on Tuesday. I want to, you know, a declarative statement. Mm-hmm. And people got in their feelings about that. But Tua is trying to, unfortunately, exert his leadership through the media because people don't think that he's a leader. But mm-hmm. he is clearly, unequivocally, without a doubt, a leader. I've seen it. I've known that since probably his third year when I saw him ream out Austin Jackson for practicing poorly. But the problem is, it's just, it's his personality isn't in your face.
Yeah.
And I don't know what people want him to do. Like, to, you know, that's not his personality. And I was hearing, I heard Dan Orlovsky. Say something very similar to how I feel. And he was like, I played with a quarterback who was the same way. And he's referring to Peyton Manning. Mm. Like, he doesn't want to be confrontational. But so you need those presence. You need the Teron Armsteads there to handle that for him. And that's always been one of my biggest issues coming into this season. There is no Teron Armstead. There is no Calais Campbell. So it's like the blind leading the blind. And I like Jordan Brooks, and I like Aaron Brewer, and I like Ryan Zach Seidler, and I like, I don't know. Alec Engel. I like them, but where's the alpha?
And to piggyback off that, of, you know, the first time me and Teron sat down and talked, I brought up the video from Hard Knocks where he was talking to him at halftime in the Cowboys game. And he was like, that's what people don't understand about Tua. He's not about, let me get everyone together, I'm going to yell at 15 people. He's like, he was more, I'm going to pull you aside and I'm going to talk to you and be like, this is what we need from you. And you, you know, fortified that with the young player. So. Appreciate that.
I see him after games, after losses. He's talking to players about routes and what to do, and next time do this and do that. And he does it all the time. But, you know, unfortunately, we don't see it. And he is too honest and candid and clearly put family business out on the streets.
Yeah. And you could tell that he's trying to be somebody he wasn't, because everyone liked that quiet Tua was what everyone's like, why were we going back to him? And it's because, like you said, he's trying to exert, like, I'm a captain now, look at me. And that's just not Tua. Someone asked why
I'm the captain now.
Look at me, look at me. Yeah,
that's exactly what, look at me, look at me.
Somebody asked,
can I please be the captain now?
Why Waddle was it named when Tua was naming people? And then somebody says, is it because, and it's just because Waddle and Tua are kind of the same person, where it's just they're very to themselves. And that's probably why they get along really well and they have that connection. Yeah.
All right, guys. Peace out.
Hey, man, be safe out there, man. Have fun.
I'll see you Tuesday.
Of course, you're leaving when somebody's taking a. He's leaving when somebody's taking a shot at him. Of course,
how could predicto he? From Patrick Mullins next week when Tua's passer rating is like 30. Omar will blame the weather and say it doesn't count. It is a factor, though. I see where you're coming from, but it's also a factor. The weather
is it
a little bit depends on the quarterback. Ian with the fiver says Quinn Mitchell and Deshaun didn't need to be babied as rookies for Eagles secondary. Doesn't that just show that Greer doesn't pick the right players?
Yeah,
it's not need to be babied is not the right term, but obviously Mitchell and DeGene were better picks than, and Dolphins could have had Quinn and Mitchell. It's not like they couldn't have used a cornerback either.
Yeah, we're always like, again, we reached for Liam Eichenberg in that trade up when Creed Humphreys was available and we could have stayed Pat and not gave up a future. It's like a lot of moves. You know, Quinn and Miners is doing fantastic in the league and we could have had him. And
we missed on a lot of generational guys.
And it's people say to me, especially on Twitter, oh, of course, hindsight, but not really when you're on the board and you know, a ranked 20 to 30 guys there, and not just by one person, but like a consensus ranked 20 or 30. And you take a guy who's ranked in the 60s. It's like, because that's what happens every time. We're sitting there and we're like, oh, look at these guys that are available. And we take a guy that could have been available in the third. And we're like, what are we doing? And then it ends up, this is what happens.
And look, every team has misses. The Dolphins in recent years just hadn't had the luxury of having a lot of misses because they forfeit a lot of draft capital. Yeah. And this is why their hit ratio is really hurting.
Steven with another fiver says, what would each of you do if you were Steven Ross this offseason? What is your first move?
I would donate all my fortune to Alan Carr.
Under one condition.
The Dolphins like
that would be my first move.
Moving on, man. It's time. You gave them a year. They didn't do what they needed to. And that year you gave them, status quo is not good enough. To play on the field is not good enough. Move on. Who cares about it?
I would bring everybody back if I was Steven Ross, though.
Well, that's because now, why would you bring them back, though?
Because I'm still going to make money. I'm still going to be all right. Who cares about the fans, man? Not worried about y'all.
Sorry, Steven, worried about
y'all. I'm going to stay up in New York. I'm going to let you guys do your thing.
Hey, man, when is F1? Okay. Ain't nobody worry about y'all.
I'll be down for F1 and for the tennis. I don't give a crap. And the walks and others than that. Veracity with the $2 super sticker. We appreciate you.
Very, very cool little avatar there.
Ryan Jackson with a fiver says, other than seeing a new coach and GM, I like to see us going back to the 97 logo and alternate unis.
It'll never happen.
Is that the one that's the 97 logo?
Mm-hmm. It's also this one right here. It's my favorite one.
Okay. All right.
I like it.
I like the orange jersey back. That's my would be my. I don't have.
Yeah, I like the orange jerseys.
Uniform takes, but that's one of them.
If I'm the Dolphins, I would like take what we have now and then the one that we love, the throwbacks, and mash them together and then have this be the throwback. I think that with the orange jersey, I think that would be super cool. But what do we know? We're just fans. Blow the Fins. So this is, I'm assuming, a Bills fan. He has a Tua Tagovailoa in a Bills uniform. We need an owner. No, he's not a Dolphin fan. We need an owner that knows what it takes to build a winning foundation. Make it Shakira or Kanye job to take. Oh my God. Noby with the fiver says, did the Flacco versus Rodgers game last night kind of tell us what quarterback body style has longevity? I want a corn fed mule for our next quarterback. Yes.
But we knew that already, didn't we, Noel? I love Noel. Noel's a good dude.
Yeah.
Agree. That's why I'm like looking at these guys.
Did you see
like,
that throw from Rodgers on the Hail Mary?
He yeah, body, yeah. Man. That was technically like 72 if you really count it.
What they showed, somebody showed a Madden when they both entered the league. Well, Rodgers started, and like I think it was like Madden 06 or something like that. Just these block figures. Six ring check Parks with another $2 said Dolphins trade Parker and Welker to the Patriots. Yeah. Well, Parker benefited the Dolphins. Let's be honest with that one because he didn't really do anything.
Can I chime in on Welker too? Because it's been killed as like a horrible trade for the Dolphins. Wes Welker was not Wes Welker when he was traded to the Patriots. He went to play with Tom Brady as a slot guy, which was perfect for that. And they got a 2 and a 7 when the Patriots were going to sign him to an offer sheet as an RFA with a poison pill that would have made it really difficult for the Dolphins to match. So to me, it was not the catastrophic trade that everybody wants to portray because of the results.
My first ever game in Miami was the Chiefs game. I was 18, so it was 20 years ago. And I think it was the game where Welker like punted and kicked a field goal too, or something like that. Like he
was at New England.
He'd had like a great game. And this is back when they had the 18 wheeler and the side would open, and that was your this pro shop. And I bought a Welker jersey. And that offseason got traded. And ever since then, I did not buy an active player's jersey because I was like, no, man, yeah. I can't do it anymore.
You don't know who's safe.
Exactly. Chico with the tour says, why is TD always right? Because the man is
only on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Why is he on the right? Because I don't know if that's how the pictures came out.
That ain't what it said, Adam.
It says, why is TD always right? You're on the right.
Oh, man. Greg with the fiver says, Ross saying he's being patient with McDaniel. Why don't we hear anything about Greer? Why is it that Greer seemingly to be automatically safe?
Ross is not saying anything. It's national folks who are saying that's what Greer is saying. Ross hasn't said anything publicly about anybody or anything for like
McDaniel or anybody. There's no I'm being patient. No.
It's the same thing that's coming out about Waddle potentially being traded to the Giants. No one is saying anything. It's my source is this, my source is that. You know who I trust? The guy that's to my left over here. The guy in the middle of the Brady bunch.
Oh, me.
The right of
you and you and Omar, because you're in the building.
The right.
So if you tell me it ain't looking good inside there, then I'm gonna be like, uh-oh.
So, but here's the thing that starts with okay, the Giants need a wide receiver because Malik Nabers is on IR and Jackson Dart looks like he's got something. Hmm. So they're gonna be looking to acquire a wide receiver. Who could their potential targets be? Go ahead. Their potential targets could be who was it? Chris Olave was one of them. Hmm. I don't remember the other one. Then Jalen Waddle could be somebody that interests him.
Yeah, sometimes it's as simple as somebody on their phone while they're at work and they get a notification. Top trade targets for the Giants and Waddle's pictures on there. Oh, I heard the Giants are going after Waddle. Then it spreads. The Giants are looking to get Waddle. And then all it takes is those three people that says, an offer's already been made.
It's just got to be – he's got to pass the physical.
Now, here's the thing. If the Giants call the Dolphins, say, hey, would you what would it take for you to send us Waddle? That's not the same thing as the Dolphins shopping Waddle. I mean –
Has that happened already? I think
– phone call. Say what?
Didn't somebody call the Dolphins over the past 3 years for a player and the Dolphins kept saying, no, we're not trading him, we're not trading him. I don't remember who it was.
Jonnu and Calais.
It was somebody. It was somebody. It was before that. I think it was 2023 or something.
I remember. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I can't remember what player.
They kept saying no.
Are you talking about Xavier Howard last year?
It might have been Robert Hunt before he hit free agency or something. It was someone like that the Dolphins kept saying no. Because, again, if the Dolphins get a phone call from the Giants and they say, hey, what do you want for Waddle? And the Dolphins say, we want a first and a fourth next year. And the Giants go, okay. Then all of a sudden they're going to look at Waddle and go, you're going to New York. Sorry about that. Like, that's just how it's going to work out. But I doubt anyone's going to give up a first for Waddle. Panama Jack with the fiver says, I want to see Zach Wilson. I want to see what Zach Wilson can do. You can't hold his time with the Jets against him. Anybody that played for the Jets had a hard time there.
It's Tua's team, man. This is his team, okay? If Zach's going to get a chance, it's because the universe aligned it for him to get a chance. But this is Tua's team. They're not going to relegate that position, even if he doesn't play well. They're going to let him play it out because he's the starting quarterback of the Dolphins.
Plus, I don't think, me personally, because I'm not a big Zach Wilson fan, I don't hold his time against the Jets against him. I'm holding his time from what I saw, especially in preseason against him, and it wasn't great. It wasn't bad. I'm not saying it was horrible. It wasn't Jets-esque, but even, you know, Alan over here during training camp was saying, I expected not seeing Jet stuff, and you kind of saw some Jet stuff in the beginning of training camp. So,
and I'd rather see Quinn Ewers anyway.
Exactly. If everything's done, right, we're after the bye, we lost to the Saints, and we're now facing the Jets, and we still only have one win, just put yours in there. Like, at that point, like, let's see what the man got, you know, because if he lights it up and we actually win up games, then cool, you don't have to draft a quarterback. But we'll see. Frankie with the fiver says, if you guys can go back in time, would you have drafted Tua? No. Second question, do each of you guys want to move forward with Tua? Here, I'll answer and then we'll go down. No, and I wouldn't have taken Herbert. I would have taken Tristan Wirfs. Then I would have taken Justin Jefferson. And then I would have taken either Jordan Love. I think I would have taken Jordan Love. That would have been my 1-2-3. I wouldn't have taken Herbert or Tua. I would have. I'm a trenches guy. I would have built through the trenches. Alan, would you have drafted different in 2020?
Yes, I would have drafted different. I wasn't crazy about Tua coming out of Alabama. Do I want to move forward with Tua, understanding that's what's going to happen? But if it was you don't have a choice because of the salary cap. So if it contract aside, no, I would have moved on from Tua a couple of years ago.
Yeah, if I was going back to the draft, I would have drafted Justin Herbert, obviously, at this point. That's probably who I would have taken. And second question, yeah, I do want to move forward one more year or two. Not because I want to see anything or like, hey, give him one more chance. Eat at least one more year of that contract before we move on.
Correct. You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Unless somebody magically wants to trade for him, but we'll see. Sick ring check with another Tua. We appreciate all the donations from a Patriot fan. Tua, turnover upcoming always. Not necessarily. He didn't throw an interception
in bunches, Dan. I'm saying Dan.
Did he throw? No.
He threw three of them against the Chargers, even not though the
Jets. One wasn't his fault.
One wasn't his fault, and the other one's the last play of the game.
That counted. The other two were his fault. Did he throw an interception against the Jets? No, right?
I don't know.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
He probably just stalled on some three and outs where some wide open people. Something.
Moving on.
Then finally, Frankie with the tour says, we all want Mike and Greer gone. What about Garfinkel? That man
zero chance.
Ain't going zero chance. Nowhere at all. You no. Garfinkel is more protected than Stephen Ross is at this point. But that's all we got for you guys. We will see you Tuesday, 7:30. Victory?
I hope so. I hope so. I really do.
How about this? We will talk about something. And Tuesdays are our biggest show because everyone likes to watch us be miserable. Well, me and TD.
You... Oh, score prediction. Get my quick score.
Oh, yeah. Mine is Browns 24-14.
You got the Browns winning?
Yep. I think it's going to come down to who could stop the run and who can stop the run. And I don't think the Dolphins can stop the run. I think it's going to be that game where it's going to be like the playoff game. And I think McDaniel's going to abandon the run. And I think the Browns are going to run it down the Dolphins' throat. 24-14. Alan?
The Browns also. Dude, it's their first game in Cleveland since September. 21st. And the last time they played at home, they beat the Green Bay Packers. They also haven't scored more than 17 points in any game this season. Maybe this is the time it's going to happen, but even if it does, if it doesn't, because the weather conditions are so bad, this favors whoever is better on the ground and running the ball and stopping the run. I'm not sure that's Cleveland. Sorry, Tony.
Yeah, y'all hurt my feelings because the Dolphins gonna win this game.
Okay, good.
As long as Dylan Gabriel play the whole game, the Dolphins gonna win because the Dolphins defense is finally gonna score some points. The Dolphins defense, 2 touchdowns. I'm telling you. Defense and special teams, 2 touchdowns. Mark my words.
And you know what? I could see the special teams. Because special teams.
If you go back, no, Doug, if you go back and watch that Cleveland game last week, I tell you, no lie, Pittsburgh dropped 5 or 6 interceptions. Like, not exaggerating, like, literally in their hand. They dropped every single one of them. I was like, man. And they threw the ball 52 times. They're going to throw the rock, regardless of the weather, and our guys are going to make some plays. Like he's off on his passes quite often. We're going to make plays in that zone coverage. So I think the defense is going to put up, between defense and special teams, 2 touchdowns.
Okay. I can see special teams. I could definitely see that. All right. We will see you guys Tuesday, 7:30. Be sure to go check out Allen, Miami Dolphins on SI. Don't forget Omar Kelly, Miami Herald. Go check him out. Also, tdyoutube.com/tdfinstalk and Roundtable Sports, as well as AFC's Roundtable. You can check me out, youtube.com/DougLeeDoWrong. We are out. We will see you Tuesday. Hopefully, TD is right, and we play much better.
We got this one, Doug. Peace.